Shalom, and welcome to the Lord's house as we share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, today's message.
The Apostle Paul wrote in the book of Galatians, chapter 1, verse 8, it says this, "But though that we or an angel from heaven preach unto you otherwise than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." If an angel from heaven preaches anything contrary to what we have delivered unto you, let him be accursed. And the word used for angel here is a Greek word, angelos, which can be translated, and usually is in the scripture, as an angel. It can also be translated as a messenger. And in the King James Version, it's translated angel 179 times, messenger 7 times. Sometimes can also be referring to a pastor. So the implication here is whether it be a pastor or a messenger, or even a heavenly being, and they are not preaching the same gospel that God gave to Paul and to Peter and to those others of the early church, they are to be accursed, which means that they also can mean that they could be banned or excommunicated, not to have anything to do with them. Jesus himself spoke these words in Matthew chapter 24, verse 24. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall so show great signs and wonders, so that if it were possible, they should deceive the very elect. You know, we're seeing a lot of that today. And a couple of other countries, these particular countries happen to be in the African continent. Some of the stuff that is being done there and being passed off as Christianity is an abomination to God. I'm not even really going to describe it to you here this morning, what's taking place. But some of it is the most vile and disgusting thing you can think of that people are doing in the name of Christianity and trying to pass it off as what God's will is for those people. Or if they want to be healed, they've got to do this, that, or the other. The Bible says they're to be accursed, they're to be banished. He also told us in Matthew chapter 7, verses 22 and 23, "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not by thy name prophesied, and by thy name cast out devils, and by thy name done many great works? And then will I profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Now that sounds pretty harsh, doesn't it? They're standing before God and they're saying, "Lord, Lord, have we not done this? Have we not prophesied? Have we not cast out devils? Have we not done many great works in your name?" And he's saying, "I never knew you." But we see that today, people doing purported works in the name of God. And yet, the outcome of some of it is so horrendous. Particularly, I'm thinking of, "Have we not by thy name prophesied?" We've got a lot of prophets out there today. And I'll have to say, and I've told this congregation before, the way to throw up a red flag in my face is to come up and tell me that you're a prophet. Because that automatically sends up a red flag to me. First of all, I believe if you're a prophet of God, God's going to show me and tell me that you're a prophet. And you don't have to come and try to convince me that you're a prophet. But we've got a lot of people running today, and they can make prophecies. I could stand up here and I could make a prophecy about something, and it might or might not come true. Because sometimes we can just make some educated guesses on stuff, and it turn out to happen that way. You know, you've got, in a lot of things, a 50-50 chance of it happening the way you say it's going to happen. But a prophet is a one who God speaks to, and the message they get is directly from God, and it will happen. May not happen right then, because we look at some of the prophets of the Old Testament. They didn't live, in some cases, to see their prophecies come true, but they came through, and time has borne out their prophecies were from God. There's prophecies that were made by the New Testament writers, also Old Testament writers, that are coming true today and are happening today. They are playing out exactly the way that they were prophesied that they would have, that they would come to be. But we've got people running around today willy-nilly prophesying over this and prophesying over that. We've got people running up to them and say, "Preacher, prophesy over me." I don't think it works that way. I read back in the Bible, in the Old Testament, with the prophets there, nobody ran up to them and said, "Prophesy over." In fact, quite honestly, a lot of people are afraid of them because they knew they had a message from God and they knew what they spoke was going to happen. But there are a lot of people prophesying today. As somebody pointed out just a moment ago, some of them are doing it for the money. Some of them, "Yeah, I'll prophesy over you. Hand me X number of dollars and I'll prophesy." And you can better bet it's going to be a good prophecy the more money you hand them. You know, probably won't come true. But by then, he's got the money and gone. Other things that are taking place. There's going to be a lot of people standing before God and he's going to say, "I'm afraid. I'm sorry. I don't know who you are." You might say, "Well, why are you talking about this today?" Because over the last few years, it seems like more and more Christians are falling into false teaching and false doctrine. And there's a lot of it out there. There's a tremendous amount of it out there. There's some of it out there that's been around for a long time and it's been rehashed and came back up in a new form and under a new name even. And people still fall for the same old things. Well, what is a doctrine? A doctrine is basically a teaching or a learning. You know, if you study history, you hear of one called in U.S. history called the Monroe Doctrine. You know, it's not a religious doctrine. It's a political doctrine. So are political teaching. So you can have doctrines of various means, but we're talking about the doctrines of God, the teachings of God, what God has to say. Just think back over the last 10, 20 years of cases that you've heard of, who someone started a group and began to teach them, supposedly a Christian teaching, that ended up in disaster because the doctrine they were teaching was not from God. Anybody can pick up a Bible and they can read it and they can quote the scriptures and they can be as far off base as one can be, but people will still be fooled by them if they're not careful. It's going on right today around the world. One man teaching that he is the appointed Son of God. That he is essentially the Messiah. Not the first one. I remember when I was a kid, we first moved to California. Came on the news, this preacher who had been preaching that he was the reincarnation of Jesus Christ. Got himself blown up by some angry husband whose wife he'd been messing around with. Found out real quick he wasn't Jesus. But it's going on. A few years back, we started hearing a teaching that everyone was going to heaven. Don't worry about it. We're all going to heaven. Some of the people on television, big names, have caught on to this doctrine. Everybody's going to heaven. Isn't that great? Well, everybody would like to hear that. You know, and it's not a new teaching, really. It's an old teaching that's been kind of revamped and spruced up and made to maybe look a little bit prettier. But everybody's going to heaven. And there is no hell. After all, a loving, merciful God would never send anyone to hell. That's true. A loving, merciful God would never send anyone to hell. He didn't create it for mankind. We send ourselves there. We send ourselves there. He made a way out of it. That's what a loving, merciful God does. He makes a way out of it. But I'm sorry to say, if you don't take that way, it's where you're going to end up. But there would be those that teach that there is no hell. We're seeing the fulfillment of what Jesus spoke of in Matthew 24 and Matthew 7 and what Paul wrote in Galatians that we just read a few moments ago. As I said, a few years back, we started seeing this teaching or doctrine that was called the gospel of inclusion. Everybody's included. And as I studied on this, I found out it's really kind of based on another doctrine that's out there called universalism, which is a belief that all people will eventually go to heaven. I know there was a movie out there called All Dogs Go to Heaven, and I think maybe they must have read that book or something, you know, but everybody's going. Doesn't matter what you do. You're going to heaven. And it teaches that the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ paid the price for all humanity to enjoy eternal life in heaven without any need for repentance. Jesus died on a cross. You're saved. You don't have to repent. You're saved. At least that's what they would have you believe. So my question then is, if your repentance of your sin is not required, then why does the Bible teach that it's necessary? If you don't have to repent, then why is the Bible so full of the teaching of the need of repentance, of turning away and turning your back on sin? It also teaches that salvation is unconditional and does not even require faith in Jesus Christ. So, in other words, according to that doctrine, I can go over here and I can bow down at the feet of Christopher and worship Christopher. And I will go to heaven. Ain't going to work that way. Christopher might go to heaven because he's accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior, But if I'm only worshiping Christopher, I'm not going to make it. Or I can be any one of the hundreds of other religious beliefs out there, and I will go to heaven. I don't even have to believe that Jesus ever existed, according to that teaching. And I will still go. If that's the case, then why did Jesus have to die on the cross? Why did Jesus have to come and go through the agony and the suffering and all that he went through in shedding his blood on the cross of Calvary that we could have salvation? It wouldn't have been necessary. But the Bible tells us it was. Another one of the teachings. All humanity is destined to life in heaven, whether or not they realize it, and regardless of their religious beliefs. So, everybody's going, whether they want to or not. Well, what about the people that don't want to? You know, there are people out there that don't want to go to heaven. There are people who will tell you they don't want to go to heaven. They will tell you, I want to go to hell. Some of them will say, that's where all my friends are at. I got news, your friends probably not going to like you too much down there. So there are some people that don't want to go to heaven. So we're stuck. You have no freedom in the matter. You have no choice in the matter. Yet the Bible teaches us that we have a choice, that it's up to us to make that decision. I'm going to heaven. I can do whatever I want to do. If that were the case, just think what this world would really be like. Think about it a minute. We see evil out there today more than our parents ever even thought possible. People will kill you simply because, oh, I wonder what it would be like to kill somebody. Hey, that was kind of fun. I think I'll go kill somebody else. That's evil. Evil abounds. And that's the kind of world we'd be living in completely if that doctrine were true. Because evil would abound. Because after all, it doesn't matter what I do, I'm going to heaven. Why do we have all these teachings? Well, because for some, whatever their reason might be, they in reality have turned their backs on God. Turned their backs on God. Is there other people like? Yes, there's people like that. There are people who turn their backs on God. There are people that have walked in the path of God and they've been on their way to heaven because of whatever reason in their life, they then turned their back on God and went down the other way. And sometimes when they do that, their desire is to take as many with them as they can. I'm not going to go to hell alone, is a thought that's in their mind. I'll take however many and whoever I can with me. Romans chapter 1, verse 28, as Paul writes, he says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. And we also read in Titus chapter 1, verse 16, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. I was asked the other day, what does the word reprobate mean? And according to the Strong's Greek and Hebrew dictionary, it means unapproved, rejected, by implication, worthless, literal or moral, cast away, rejected. They've been turned over to a castaway, a rejected, a worthless mind. And frankly, the world is headed more and more in that direction. My wife used to talk about years ago, and still does once in a while, about some things that happen, and she said they must have put stupid pills in the water. And quite honestly, it wouldn't surprise me if they didn't put some stuff in the water that affects things. We've known it to happen. Stuff that they put in the water. Everybody's got to drink water. Oh, I'll get my glacier water that came from straight out of the tap in South Carolina, you know. And let's face it, folks, it doesn't matter what that label is. That's what happens sometimes. But we talk about that because we see the insanity of the world today. We see people, as it were, literally going crazy in the things that they do. They don't care how it affects other people. As long as I get what I want. You get in my way and I'll run over you because I want to be there first. And then it gets to, you get in my way and I'll kill you if you get in my way. Because I'm me. A reprobate. We're living in what is becoming very quickly a reprobate world. You know, the Bible tells us that we have to live in the world. We're part here, we're half to here, but we don't have to be of the world. We're still stuck here on planet Earth. We still have to trod the streets and drive down wherever we've got to go and do the jobs that we've got to do to survive as a bodily human being. But we as Christians are not of this world. We're citizens of another country. Amen. Because we have Jesus Christ in our heart. But unfortunately, a lot of people are being taught and accepting today that I'm going to heaven irregardless. I'm going to make it. Ask most people, a good portion of the people in the United States, if they're a Christian. And I'll have to say, what I'm about to say is becoming less and less. A few years back, you could ask just about anybody here in the United States if they were a Christian, and they'd tell you, yes, I'm a Christian. After all, I was born in America. Now today, you might ask that question, and that percentage is getting less and less. That even want to associate and be connected with Christianity. But we're seeing these things take place, though, as we become in a more reprobate or castaway society. So what do I have to do to really go to heaven? The Bible tells us there is a way to get there. First of all, in John chapter 14, verse 6, it says, Jesus speaking, saying, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, and that truth, and that life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. What did he say? In plain, ordinary, today's English, the only way you're going to get there is through me. That's the only way. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, writes, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There is no other way. So twice we're told Jesus is the only way. So what do we do? 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So He tells us very simply, the only way we're going to get to heaven is not only to believe in Jesus Christ, but we must then confess our sins, and He will then be faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. You can believe in Jesus till the cows come home, but if you never confess your sin and ask Him to come into your life and by His blood cleanse you of your sins, you are still lost. There's no other way. And no, not everyone's going to heaven. You can teach it. You can preach it. You can go on television and smile and tell people that, but it doesn't make it true. God's Word says there is no other way. And I don't care what television personality you are or what superstar preacher you think you might be. If you are not preaching that Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation and that you must confess your sins, you must invite Him into your heart, you are not going. And unfortunately, unless they change their ways, they're going to find out how wrong they are very shortly. I titled today's message, The Gospel of Deception. The Gospel of Deception. Because a deceptive gospel is being preached to the world today. Satan is out to deceive whoever he can deceive. And he will use whoever he can to spread that message. Father, I thank You today that You loved us so much, that You did make a way of salvation for us. And Father, You want us to live with You and be a part of Your family forever. And that You loved us so much that You did send Your Son Jesus to die on that cross, and that by His blood, our sins can be cleansed and washed away. And Father, I pray that there are those that are listening to me that have never accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Maybe some have thought and have listened to this message, this gospel of inclusion, this gospel of deception, and been deceived. And I pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit would open their eyes and speak to their hearts, Father. And Father, that they would awaken and realize that the only way is through Jesus Christ and by His blood and by turning around and rejecting sin and living for You. And I pray, Father, that You would speak to those hearts today. And Father, I pray for those that are listening to this message through the internet or other means. Father, I just pray that You would speak to those hearts. And for those, Father, that are listening by that method, Father, I also pray, Father, that they would check into the website, Father, and read, Father, the complete copy of what we've said about salvation. And Father, all the scriptures that go along with it, Father, that it would speak to their heart, convict them of their sin, Father, I pray. And Father, we thank You for this. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
You have been listening to a message from the Lord's House. If this ministry has blessed you, please let us know. You may email us at pastor@tlhf.us, or you may write us at the Lord's House Fellowship, P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Or if you would like to attend a service at the Lord's House, we are located at 1131 Maple Ash Avenue, Columbia, Tennessee. And until next time, Shalom.